All right, welcome to the next chapter of Sheriff Training. And in this one, we're going to talk about how do we use the common law. A lot of people ask, you know, what is common law and how can we live in common law? Well, actually, you do it every day. Common law is just how we deal with everyday situations. The truth is that throughout everyday life, people everywhere use and rely on common law to live and work together. It is simply the inherent way that people conduct their affairs together. Liken it to the roots that bind together human communities by unconditionally upholding the life, dignity, and well-being of every man, woman, and child. These roots are especially necessary and foundational in the face of tyrannical powers that seek to subvert such natural freedom. The common law's firm horizontal guarantees of mutual respect and protection are a permanent threat to the efforts by arbitrary rulers to harness men and women into the unnatural and vertical arrangements known as the state. This is why every government and religion seeks to annul the common law with their own authority and statutes in order to reduce free peoples everywhere to the status of regimented, obedient, tax-paying wage slaves who serve a ruling clique. To extend our everyday reign of common law into all areas of life means to challenge the arbitrary rule of those cliques and of all state-level regimes. But the very fact that it is the law of we, the people, the vast majority of humanity, in fact, means that it only needs to be consistently practiced by enough of us for arbitrary authority and dangers to crumble. Now, I went to a meeting last night, and there was a young chap there who got up after I spoke about common law and said, well, you know, I espouse all the things about common law, but unless we get out of our birth certificate, we are stuck in their system. And he was coming from a flawed premise there. The fact is, a piece of paper, no matter how much authority the other side give it, has no authority if we decide it has none. It's up to us to decide. We are free, independent men and women. We make the decisions, not them. Their system is actually not a bad system for managing our affairs. We can just bring that into common law without all their rules and regulations and all their registrations and everything. We don't register anything in common law. We record our ownership of it if it's something like a car or a house or land or even our marriage, because we want people to know that we are lawfully married, but we don't register. Register means to give the authority and ownership to a third party. Well, no, that's our stuff. We don't give it away. Moving into common law is simply moving your thinking out of their system and into common law. We don't need to go through all sorts of acrobatics to repudiate what they've done, because it has no effect on us if we decide it has none. And there are people right now who are living exclusively in common law. They don't need to deal with the other system. But it's not easy to do at this stage, because most people are still stuck in the old paradigm. We need to change that. And one way we can do that is by learning our law, learning our rights and freedoms, and then standing up for them. One thing we do have to overcome is fear. And as sheriffs, we cannot afford to show fear. We have to be strong. We use the common law by simply employing and relying on it in all spheres of life. And that means by first establishing functioning common law courts with absolute and ultimate jurisdiction over every aspect of our communities and lives. Now, that's what we're doing up here on the Sunshine Coast. We're going to start our next common law court at the next assembly. So if you're living on the Sunshine Coast, I hope you'll be there for that. But once we get that court going, we're going to start summoning these politicians and we'll hold them accountable. Can those courts actually have an effect on their lives? Absolutely. We don't go around and lock them up, but we can certainly take their property because they've been fined, or we can shame them in public with big wanted posters and rewards and all sorts of things. So if you know any business people who are willing to donate big money for a reward, let me know. So let's have a look at matters before a common law court, because as sheriffs, we're going to be in those courts. We will be acting as bailiffs and as sheriffs. So what happens? Traditionally, law in the European tradition falls into two general categories, civil and criminal law. The former deals with disputes between individuals, often called tort offences, T-O-R-T, or issues of negligence, which cause harm. Criminal law deals with acts of intentional harm to individuals, but which, in a larger sense, are offences against all people because they somehow threaten the community. Arising as a defence against absolutism and state or church tyranny, the common law traditionally has dealt with criminal law matters that Crown or canon law courts refuse either to address or do so in a restricted manner, including murder, rape, warfare, and other crimes against the community. But civil matters of personal disputes may also be brought into a common law court, which after all claims universal jurisdiction over all legal matters within a community. So it doesn't matter what your gripe is, if you have been harmed in any way, civilly or criminally, you can bring your case to the common law court.
And now, a word from our sponsor, who helps keep these podcasts going.
RedPillHosting.com is your one-stop shop to buy your perfect domain name. Then get your own hosting server, or buy our easy-to-use website builder from just $8.99 a month. Yes, you heard that right. Just $8.99. Building your own website can feel like a daunting task. Who wants to deal with code anyway? Website Builder makes it simple to create a modern, professional website with no technical knowledge required. Share your passion online. With RedPillHosting.com, you get responsive mobile design, professional website hosting, rapid page load performance, secure SSL, 24/7 support, and much more. Do you need a shopping cart to go with that? We have just the right one for you. What sort of server do you need to host your website? We can advise you on the best solution for your needs. Choose Linux, Windows, or VPS hosting. Select what type of back office management system you need, from cPanel, Plesk, or WordPress hosting. No matter what you need, RedPillHosting.com is the place to get it. Visit us at RedPillHosting.com whenever you need us.
Indeed, because common law is rooted in the jury system, what better forum can there be for the settling of civil matters between individuals than a trial before one's own neighbours? For our purpose, however, the major focus of litigation before our common law courts will be on criminal law and matters involving serious threats or crimes made against people, animals, communities, and the environment. As in any lawful system, the burden of proof in any such litigation brought before the common law court will be on the plaintiffs, those bringing the lawsuit, and normal rules of evidence will apply. For example, allegations against a party cannot be made in court without there being a basis in provable facts, such as primary documentation that is certified by an independent party, or by producing eyewitnesses to the alleged crime. So in other words, just to give you an example, let's say that a mother and father separated many, many years ago, and the father took the daughter with him and brought her up. Now the mother suffers some serious mental disturbances, you know, maybe somebody in her family died or she had a drug overdose or something happens, but then it turns the lady's mind. And she starts trying to make accusations against the father that he kidnapped the child. Well, she would have a hard time coming to a common law court because she would have no proof, right? You must go to a court with solid proof in hand. And don't come to us and say, oh, I've been harmed, I want to have a court. No, you have to come with us, come to the court with the proof. And who do you present the proof to? You present it to the court registrar. They are the people who make the decision on whether a court case is merited. Okay? So when you make your case, you bring in an affidavit, you bring in supporting evidence, and you give it to the registrar and say, I want to bring charges against Charlie Brown or whoever. Okay?
Dick Yardley's book, Australian Political and Religious Leaders, Treason, Treachery and Sabotage. Dick exposes how Whitlam, Hawke, Keating, Goss, Rudd and all the other Fabians have destroyed our manufacturing and agriculture. If you want to know exactly how they have done it, get Dick's book at advanceaustralia.com.au and click on merchandise. Knowledge is power. Get the power to fight the corruption today.
Another crucial rule of evidence is the inadmissibility of hearsay evidence, as in, no, I wasn't there, but I heard about what happened. This is an especially relevant rule when it comes to the commission of serious crimes, such as murder, genocide, or rape. In short, any allegations must be backed up with provable facts and must be made by one who was a direct participant in or an eyewitness to the event. For our purposes, it must be noted that in the case of especially monstrous corporate crimes committed by governments or other powers, such as wars of aggression, a genocide, or human trafficking, normal rules of evidence are less stringently applied. This is because of a realistic understanding that crimes committed by entire societies or regimes are of a different nature than crimes by isolated individuals. A different set of norms regarding intent and provable evidence applies. I think we can safely say that the governments of Australia, we can definitely prove that they have committed monstrous crimes against we the people, and they're still trying to commit them. So we wouldn't have too much trouble getting a conviction in a common law court. So how about it? Can we get somebody to bring charges against these politicians? Are you ready to start a common law court in your assembly region? These are the questions you need to start asking. In the words of the chief American prosecutor at the Nuremberg trials in 1946, Robert Jackson, no regime that seeks the extermination of entire groups of people generally retains written proof of their intent to commit this crime. Considering the murderous nature of their regime, there is no need, since such extermination is not considered a crime. Nevertheless, even such a system seeks to fog and dissimulate the evidence, especially during wartime. The proof of crimes against humanity generally lies not in documents, but in the witness statements of survivors, remains in mass graves, and in the implied proof of the intent to commit these crimes contained in the everyday and institutionalized laws, attitudes, and norms of the murderous regime. I think we already have that in plenty. We can prove the murderous intent of these governments. They think they're doing they pretend to think that they are doing the right thing, but I think most of them know what they are doing is monstrous, criminal, and just against all norms of humanity. So I don't think any common law court will have a problem convicting these criminals. And as you notice, if you've seen my posts on social media, I'm always calling them the same four words: liars, thieves, criminals, traitors, because that's exactly what they are.
If you're enjoying the Bloody Aussie Battler podcast, please consider donating to help keep us going. You can donate just once or make it a monthly donation. Any amount is welcome. To donate, go to our website at www.thebloodyaussiebattler.com and click on donate.
Implied intent is a legal concept especially relevant and specific to litigation involving genocidal regimes, including governments and churches whose worldview and laws consider other groups to be unworthy of life or equal rights, such as the groups that were tried and sentenced in the first case of the International Common Law Court of Justice concerning the genocide of Indigenous peoples in Canada by church and state. Laws such as the Indian Act of Canada, which impose a different set of laws on a racially targeted group, or the Roman Catholic canon law, Crimen Solicitationes, which condones and facilitates the concealment of child rape within the church, indicate a clear implied intent to commit and abet criminal acts. And that's why Kevin Arnett from the International Common Law Court of Justice has now been able to indict and convict two popes. The current pope has just been convicted. If you haven't seen that, it's on my website, cirnow.com.au. By the way, if you ever arrest him, there's a $10,000 reward.
The final verdict of the court's citizen jury in the matter of the People versus Canada, the Crown of England, the Vatican, and the Anglican, Catholic, and United Church of Canada, and their officers and other parties for crimes against humanity and criminal conspiracy, case number one in the docket of the court. Let it be known and duly recorded that the verdict from the jury members reads as follows. After careful deliberation of all the evidence and facts presented to us, and in the absence of any case or response by the defendants, it is the unanimous verdict of we, the citizen jury of the International Common Law Court of Justice, that 1. The 30 named defendants in this case are guilty as charged on the two indictments. That is, they are guilty of committing or aiding and abetting crimes against humanity and of being part of an ongoing criminal conspiracy. And that 2. The named defendants in this case shall receive the full sentence recommended by the prosecution. We, the jury, hereby declare our free and unanimous decision and discharge our duty under the common law. We thank the court for granting us this responsibility, dated this 21st day of February in the year 2013. This court recognizes the validity and lawfulness of the decision of these jurors according to the common law precedent that a quorum of 12 citizens is required and sufficient for any just and lawful verdict. It is now the duty of this court to confirm this verdict and impose sentencing and enforcement against the defendants. This court therefore finds the 30 named defendants in this case and their institutions guilty as charged on the two counts of the indictment of having committed or aided and abetted crimes against humanity and of being part of an ongoing criminal conspiracy. The court imposes the following sentence on the defendants and their institutions. 1. Each of the defendants is hereby sentenced to 25 years involuntary confinement in a public correction facility without the possibility of parole. 2. The personal assets and property of each of the defendants is forthwith confiscated and will be distributed to the victims of their actions and policies or to the surviving members of the victims' families. The assets and property of the institutions of which the defendants are the responsible officers are hereby publicly expropriated and are declared to be the commonwealth and property of the people as a whole. In addition, the archives, records, and facilities of these institutions are declared open and are henceforth in the possession of the people. 4. These institutions of church and state are henceforth and forever legally, politically, and morally disestablished, and are prohibited from operating or existing within our communities or anywhere within the jurisdiction of the common law and the law of nations, including the 15 nations represented in this court. These institutions are permanently banned from our midst. 5. All of the citizens of these nations and within the jurisdiction of the common law and the law of nations are hereby and forever enjoined and ordered to abide by and enforce this sentence. These citizens are hereby authorized to act as legal agents of this court and this sentence by peacefully occupying and seizing the property, assets, and movable articles of these institutions of church and state, and declaring them to be under the common ownership of the people. 6. The peace officers of these nations are hereby instructed to assist in the enforcement of this just sentence, and in this process of peaceful reclamation by adhering to their oath of office, and keep the peace by protecting the agents of the court and others engaged in the enforcement of this sentence. 7. The legal agents of the court and all those citizens who act to enforce this sentence are, as of March 4, 2013, armed with an international citizen's arrest and reclamation warrant to be issued by the court that authorizes them to enter any facility of the defendants and immediately detain them and their accessories in order to enforce this sentence. 8. Finally, the court orders the continued investigation of the crimes of the defendants and their institutions and their accessories. The costs of this case and subsequent cases arriving from this sentence are levied on the assets of the defendants and their accessories. The defendants are hereby given 7 days from this date to voluntarily surrender themselves and their assets and property to the agents and common law peace officers of the court, or face immediate arrest and confinement by our agents and common law peace officers according to the sentence. A court order is hereby issued to that effect. After 7 days, commencing on March 4th, 2013, these court officers will begin to make such arrests and enforcements. As of that date, March 4th, 2013, the property and assets of the named institutions can be lawfully and legally occupied and seized by these officers and all citizens who act to enforce the sentence of the court. The court excuses the jury members and declares its proceedings concluded. This court is adjourned until the commencement of the next case in its docket. Issued and entered into the permanent record of the International Common Law Court of Justice, Monday, February 25th, 2013.
If you're enjoying these podcasts on the BloodyAussieBattler.com, why not become a member to support my work? It's easy. Just click on Join Us and choose the membership level that suits your pocket.